programma.
Delaney, broadcasting live from the Emerald Isle, specifically Dublin, Ireland. Hey, everybody. How's it shaking out there? Hope you're doing well wherever you hail from, whatever nook and cranny. In the States, people are getting ready for the big debate, the first of three between the President Barack Obama and the challenger Mitt Romney. So we'll mix in a little bit of that conversation. But, man, I can't tell you how stoked I am to be in Ireland. These people are incredible. Now, wonder why they're calling it the gathering for next year. I'm telling you, you need to hightail it over here and get here however you can, hook or crook, as they say, because there's just so much this country has to offer, and I had a chance to experience that by taking the Irish Rail and going out to Offaly County, specifically in Tullamore, and what a grand time I had there, as I have in the northern part of Ireland and Dublin as well. Dublin is just an amazing city, a lot to see and very easy to maneuver your way around this city. All right, joining us from the top, we thought it'd be fun because to talk a little fashion for a second here with Angela Scanlon. She's a fashion journalist and stylist. She gets up in the wee hours to talk to us here on America Tonight. Isn't that sweet? Hey, Angela, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, although we never say that. Have you realized that since you've been here?
Oh, yeah. Thank goodness. I didn't use the little crazy expressions in America that you see on the St. Patrick's Day things when you go to the party stores where it says, Erin, go bra, and top of the morning. No, I didn't say any of those. I was smart enough not to do that.
That's okay. I don't take it too seriously.
Angela, one thing I did notice, it's interesting. I have to say this. I think that the people in, this is just the people I've observed, and of course, you know, you could label people however you want to, and we're all unique and different, but I think that the women in, the first of all, the women are beautiful in Ireland. All the places I've gone, I've noticed how impeccably some of them dress, and awfully when I was in Tullamore, as I said, I saw all kinds of things. I think there's a real fashion sense here that I don't know why the silly American that I am, I didn't realize. But is there a big emphasis?
Silly American that I am. You know what? And I'm glad that you said that, because we do sometimes get a bad rap. It's not exactly seen as the being at the cutting edge of fashion, but that has all changed, as you've seen. And there is such an energy and a vibrancy about the Irish fashion scene right now. I think, you know what? What may be said, designers, or at least the industry apart, is the sense of humour with which they approach things, and there's a definite work ethic there that seems to be coming through. But yes, Ireland rocks, especially for fashion, and I think there are fantastic things going on. There's so many designers that I'm about to talk about, if you let me, and yeah, just really wonderful things happening.
Yeah, so what are the, when you say there's really wonderful things happening, does that mean a lot of designers that are Irish born, are they getting attention across the world?
Absolutely, and that's I suppose what's really kind of injected a bit of life into the whole industry, because there's a bit of hope there. Obviously, as a small country, we need to look to export and to a bigger platform and a bigger stage, and Irish designers have started to do that. I mean, there's a lot of them that have been doing it for a long time, but it's becoming kind of the first thing that young designers do. And two that are notable at the moment are Simone Rocha and J.W. Anderson. Simone is the daughter of John Rocha, who you may be familiar with. He's kind of, you know, our granddad of fashion here, although he might not like that expression. But yeah, he's a fantastic designer who has been doing stuff for years in Ireland, over 25 years showing in London. And his daughter started showing a couple of years ago and has literally taken the fashion world by storm. She has Anna Wintour as a fan, as well as Lady Gaga being dressed for the front cover of L.U.K. And, you know, what's wonderful about these designers, and I'll talk about J.W. Anderson afterwards, but is they're kind of going back to basics. And for a long time, Irish and Irishness, well, you know, for people based here, was seen as a little bit twee. And now they're really, you know, these two are living in London. They're coming back to replicate those quintessential Irish fabrics. So whether it's traditional crochet or Carrick Macross lace or pony skin or Aran knit, and they're making them sexy and they're making them cool and current for now. And it's really wonderful to see that kind of appreciation coming through and showing that to an international, you know, audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in talking about that, and wow, having Anna Wintour as a fan is not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know that name?
And she adores J.W. Anderson as well. He's a Northern Irish designer. Again, with huge focus on knits, on tweeds, local production is a massive thing for him, and an appreciation of his craft, and always inspired by Irish heritage, which again is not something that you immediately associate with Irish designers. They tend to kind of, you know, go elsewhere for inspiration because they don't see Ireland as that cool, hip place that a lot of other people see it as being, you know. But JW has just done a collaboration with Topshop, which is a massive international high street store, and one that has been kind of synonymous with spotting young talent and kind of nurturing it as well, and enabling him to do his catwalk shows by giving him a bit of wedge to do a high street line, which is great.
Oh yeah, absolutely, no kidding. So in talking about the local production, that's good. That means jobs, right?
That means jobs. And Lisa Shaughey is another designer who does this. She concentrates on wool predominantly, the most stunning, beautiful dresses, and you know, separates, but dresses being key. And she makes them all from her studio in Wicklow with, you know, help from local producers and local, you know, local women, basically, who help her weave these pieces. Tim Ryan, while he's based in London, again, operates on this very, you know, low-key local production, making the most beautiful knits you've ever seen. And again, that's kind of going back to what we're good at, what we're about, and kind of using those fabrics and that local knowledge to create something really beautiful. But Tim Ryan is one of my favorite designers. But that, the other thing is that it's not all kind of tweed like that. You have designers like Helen Steele and Joanne Hines and Natalie B. Como who are really focused on prints and who are very contemporary and of the moment as well. Again, basing themselves, Helen Steele is based down in her studio down in Cavan, uses a lot of beautiful silks as well. And it's just really exciting. Sorry, I'm like, we're brilliant.
Yeah, I think I love it, that especially the emphasis on the local. I think that's terrific. And anything you can do, of course, to have people going back to work and then mix it in with getting a name for themselves, as you mentioned, some of these great designers. Angela Scanlon, thanks so much for shedding a little light on the Irish not dressing drab. It's not all about green here, people.
Absolutely not. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Angela.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. As I said, it's... And I guess that's just what you have in your mind when you go somewhere. What are you expecting people, you know, what are they wearing? What are they going to look like? And they definitely have, like I said, a little bit of fashion sense here, much more, I guess, than I thought when I was making the trip over here. So that's interesting. It's interesting that when we talk about the economy, the effect of the economy here in Ireland, that you've got people that are producing things, that are exporting, you know, wools and all that kind of thing, which makes sense if you look in the countryside, as I did when I was on the Irish Rail. There were lots of sheep. It is definitely true, much like dairy, there were a lot of sheep too. So putting people back to work, that's good for them, good for the country, without a doubt. Hang with us. We're talking a little food next.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
Broadcasting from the Castle Clontarf, really a hotel, but it was a 14th century castle, which is so, so cool. It is so awesome to be in Dublin, Ireland. I know it's an overused expression when I use the word awesome, but it's the only thing that I can think of, and I've had just such a great time here in this country. We're here really to showcase the gathering that's coming up in 2013, and you can't talk about Ireland. Well, really, can you talk about any event? It's like I was thinking, we've got the debates going on between Obama and Romney, and we care about what are we going to hear, is there going to be something that's going to make you change your mind about the way you're voting, that kind of stuff. But there's people behind the scenes that are worried about the food because they have food in the back. They have a so-called green room, if you will. So there's green rooms all over the world, but more importantly, speaking of green, there's great food in Ireland. Irish soda bread is like a staple here, and I think a lot of Americans, but even Europeans that come, when they reach into the bread basket, they're reaching for the soda bread. And let me tell you, you can tell the difference. And besides the soda bread, for me, I think the one of the greatest things that I've discovered in Ireland is they have actual scones, real scones, not the fake scones. No offense to Starbucks. They're not sponsoring the show, so I can say the scones are not triangles, and they taste so much better. So in the wings, in our green room, Margaret Jeffers, and she's going to tell us about Good Food Ireland. Yep, and isn't that an apropos name, Good Food Ireland? Hey, Margaret, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Good morning, Kate.
So you heard what I said about the food. Of course I'm drawn to the soda bread, but I know a lot of people are, so that's not unusual. The scones to me were the big surprise because I think they're so crummy, Margaret, in the United States now.
I think think that, yes, Kate, that it's very much to do with the buttermilk that we make our scones with as well. And, you know, being made of our own Irish cream and milk, it's unique and it brings a different taste. And then, of course, there's our own secret recipes and lightness of hand and all of that that just makes our scones light. So we are famous for our soda bread, and really it does taste different when you come to Ireland.
Okay, so that's what people are really discovering. What it is it's the butter, it's the buttermilk, it's all that, the creams.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, Ireland has just got this most amazing, wonderful produce, and we're famous all over the world for our produce. But in recent years, in the last 10 to 15 years, we have a whole new movement with our chefs, and our cuisine has really, really become extremely innovative. And, you know, just recently another one of our restaurants received a Michelin star here. So our cuisine is just growing, and our cuisine in Ireland, we have, of course, our traditional recipes and our traditional dishes like our Irish stew that we're famous for and our bacon and cabbage. But the cuisine that's coming out of Ireland now is based on these wonderful Irish ingredients and the produce that we grow in this country. And we're famous for this produce. So, of course, we can have the best cuisine in the world because it's based on that Irish ingredient-led experience, which is fantastic and which is a whole new movement in Ireland in the last, you know, especially in the last 5 years.
So now that means obviously there are a lot of different draws to coming to Ireland. But what it sounds like you're saying, too, is that, hey, people are paying attention to Irish food. It's not, you know, it's not just, as you mentioned, the core it's the ingredients that are part of what makes it up. But now we're actually being recognized, getting the Michelin star, et cetera, for just great restaurants and foods. So people are coming for that. They're looking for certain restaurants, certain foods, right?
That's absolutely right. And you know, we're all aware of the global change in food and the desire for food through cooking and through television shows and radio shows. And here in Ireland, it's no different. And as a result of that, 5 years ago, I founded an organization called Good Food Ireland. And Good Food Ireland is a brand standard for this authentic, real food experience within Ireland. And all the businesses that are approved by the brand are passionately committed to using those local Irish food ingredients in their cuisine and showcasing and offering that to visitors and obviously to people here at home as well. So within our organization, we have everything that the food lover would require. So from a little B&B and farmhouse all the way through to a five-star hotel, to restaurants, pubs, cafes, cookery schools, food shops, and then opportunities also to go and visit the food producers and the people behind the food that make the food. So really, really providing a food tourism experience for visitors that are real food lovers that want to come to Ireland and experience the cuisine and the food of our country, but also for people that just want to come to Ireland to sightsee or to hillwalk or see our heritage, but also want a good food experience. And Good Food Ireland can provide that for them.
Wow, that sounds good. I feel like I want to do that tour. Food producers, that sounds exciting to me, where you can actually see it, see how things are done, where you're talking about taking the ingredients and then ultimately knowing how it ends up on the table. And I would think, too, through your brand, Margaret, because, you know, in the world now, not just in the United States, because we talk about, I mentioned at the top here, we have this debate going on. And, of course, what everybody wants to know is jobs and the economy. You've got to be helping people and putting them on the map by Good Food Ireland now really developing all these things, as you said, from the B&Bs down into the restaurants and et cetera. That has to put more people back to work, I would assume, in Ireland, right?
Well, you're so right, Kate, because the reality is, you know, the vision for Good Food Ireland has, you know, economically benefited the country because it is an industry organization that has linked the agri-food sector with the hospitality sector and the tourism sector for the first time, and it's an all-island organization. And when we started 5 years ago, we did a survey amongst our providers, and we have almost 600 businesses now under the brand. And we did a survey, and they said that about 70% of them said that they had heightened their awareness around the sourcing of local food. And these would have all been very, very committed people prior to Good Food Ireland, but to think that it even heightened their awareness. And they saw that through market opportunity for offering this local food in their cuisine and marketing, and through Good Food Ireland marketing it. But also as a result of that, 92% of them in the last 3 years have increased their purchasing of Irish food year on year, which contributed in the region of some 50 million back into the local economy. Because we all know that if you buy local, there's a multiplier effect. For every 10 euros spent in the local economy, it's 25 euros back into the local economy through direct and onward purchasing.
Wow. And let me ask you this question. Just, I was thinking about this because I've been delving into food a lot lately, Margaret, and just what people are eating as far as growing it and that kind of stuff. Is organic big? Is organic big here?
Organic is important, there's no question about it, but local I think is even more important. You know, we are an island nation and we have the best of produce. We grow to very, very strict regulation and, you know, everything we grow is good. So because of our climate, because of our soil and because of how we produce our food in Ireland, it's very, very clean. So we very much want to assist organic growers, but commercially they're not as big as your normal grower. But we very much want to hone in on local because, you know, hasn't got the miles, it's fresh produce, it's good produce. So I think the star of the show really is local. Obviously, local organic is the ultimate, but not organic if it has flown in from Israel. It's local, yeah. Organic or local, first and foremost.
Yeah, I love that. I love that we're talking about, what is it, 600 approved providers right now in Ireland in the network?
That's right, yes, and it's all Ireland. So we're very much kind of midstream now with our organization because we're 5 years old. And to be honest, it has been fairly pioneering, and we have great providers behind the organization and supporting it and driving it. But we had to build a brand, and we had to, you know, have credibility around the brand and that consumer guarantee that when you use the brand, you will have this authentic Irish food experience. And we also then had to grow the businesses behind it. So now we're kind of at that crossroads where, as I say, we're really now about to fly the plane. And as a result of that, we have just, in the next month, we're going to be launching a second-generation website. And this will be very, very much about the international visitor coming into Ireland so that you can plan your trip. And it's all about My Food Trip and creating your own search around Ireland of where you want to go and adding different events and different properties to your trip and different food producers to your trip and creating all of that.
Yeah, I love it. My Food Trip. I'm going to tuck that away. I got to come back and do one for sure. It's tremendous what you're doing. I love it. Margaret Jeffers from Good Food Ireland, thanks so much for joining us. We're tracing roots next. Hang with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety. Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMikes.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMikes.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMikes.com, spelled just like it sounds. StunGunMikes.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMikes.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMikes.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Welcome back to America Tonight. So, of course, we're on Irish soil broadcasting from the Hotel Clontarf. Very excited to be here in Dublin, Ireland, talking all things Irish and mixing in a few other things as well here on the show, some of the big things that are happening across the land. One of the big drawing cards for, I think, this country is people want to trace their roots. Across the world, that's a big thing now, trying to find out who am I, where am I from, what did my ancestors do for a living, how did they survive, what lines did we come from, how far back can we trace ourselves. I think the business couldn't be bigger of genealogy. Joining us now, she's in the wings and stepping forward. And I think she's putting down that scone and that wonderful cup of coffee that we chipped in to get her. Hey, Helen Kelly, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Very welcome, Kate. Nice to talk with you.
Yeah, but and you know, by the way, I was kidding you. You were in the virtual green room. I don't know if
Absolutely.
You're really eating a scone.
I've been green tea, actually.
Green tea. I love green tea.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So Helen, have you noticed that there's been a bigger desire to, I think now more than ever, to find out where you came from, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, Kate, yes. And not just with the Irish diaspora, but also with the Irish who have never gone away, like just like myself, who have never left the island of Ireland. There are a lot of factors playing, I suppose, towards it. Not least the series of Who Do You Think You Are, that's on television in various countries. New millennium, I suppose, in the last 12 years also means that most of us, or a lot of us anyway, most of us, are products of the last millennium, not just the last century, and lots of other things besides.
So if somebody wants to trace their roots, what's the first thing they need to do? Because it's easy to say, geez, I wonder where I'm from, but they don't know where to go for the information. What's the first thing you recommend that they do, maybe even before they go to a genealogist, because you have to have some information?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing you do is simple. You start with yourself, Kate. You sit down and you write all you know, because we write everything we know about ourselves, our siblings, our parents and grandparents. Most of us will remember grandparents. Then the next thing we do is we search the attic for documents that have lain hidden and gathering dust for years perhaps. And then we talk with older relatives. And all that work is very necessary before we start going on a paper trail.
All right, so find out, know everything you can, trace backwards and go from there. It's interesting, I was in Offaly County yesterday, and I've got family. My full name, Helen, is Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney. And I know more, my family knows a little more about the Fitzgerald side than the Delaney side. Like, we have more dates about when my family left and they came to Philadelphia and that kind of thing, and we believe that there were family members that were, left behind. If I go back to my great-great-great-great-grandfather and whatnot, I can go back to, when he was born and all that sort of stuff. And they showed me all these books, that 15,000 books that they have in Offaly that they use for trying to trace people, because there really isn't just one source. Am I correct?
That's right. You are correct, yes. But there are four major sources for the majority of people doing their Irish research, Kate. And there is a ceiling. We do hit the brick wall. For most of us who were born in Ireland, the brick wall with ancestral research is in around the mid to early 1800s. Having said that, many more of us can go back much farther than that. I've gone back with my own people to the early 1700s, to the mid-1700s with Roman Catholic parish registers and earlier with some registered deeds. In talking about your own ancestor, you're talking about the Delaney ancestor, are you?
Yes.
Who left Ireland?
Yes, the Delaney and Fitzgerald, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the Delaney one, did the Delaney ancestor leave in the early 1800s?
They did, yes.
Not the mid, not around the famine time.
Well, no, I stand corrected. Right around the famine time they left, yes.
Yes, yeah. Well, a great deal of our people, as you know, left around famine time from the 1840s to the 1870s. And there's a wonderful land and property record for Ireland that was published between 1847 and 1864 for the whole country at a different date for each location. And it's a turn-off for a lot of people when they hear about land and property records, because they say, well, my people left during the famine and didn't have anything. But the majority of our ancestors didn't own their property throughout the 19th century and earlier. But this particular land record that I'm talking about is called Griffith's Valuation, and it gives occupiers or tenants as well as owners of property. And the tenants who are documented are predominantly male and married. So in terms of your ancestor who left during famine times, it's very likely that that person left a sibling or a parent who is documented in Griffith's Valuation.
Ah, and that gives you something to trace if you do that.
Absolutely. And the wonderful thing about Griffith's Valuation is I have great respect for Richard Griffith, who carried out this survey, along with a major team, of course. But he worked for 40 years on this particular land record, starting in the 1820s and concluding it in 1864 with the publication of the final survey for the final county. And he recommended to his surveyors that they return to every property every year. But of course the budget wasn't there for that. But they did return every few years, and they kept that up in what's now the Republic of Ireland until the 1970s. So what Griffith gives us is the names of the tenants or occupiers, the names of the immediate lessors who may or may not be the landlord, and it gives us the precise location of every holding. In a rural setting, that location is called a townland, T-O-W-N-L-A-N-D, and there are over 64,000 of them, and they're all documented in Griffith's valuation.
Wow, so that's a great way to find it. Absolutely. You got to go there. All points, you're right. That's the best. That's like the Bible, if you will, of tracing.
Absolutely. And I'm very passionate about these records now. The subsequent surveys, the originals, are still available for research in the downtown office in Dublin, in the valuation office. They're not yet digitized as such, but I believe that's imminent. They were microfilmed many years ago by the Church of Latter-day Saints, but they're on black and white film. And these are color-coded, so it's best to see the color coding. Because what the surveyors did was, they literally went out knocking on doors, out to the countryside, and the towns of Ireland. Now, I have to say that the cities are not that well documented. For example, Dublin City is not that well documented in the subsequent surveys in terms of tenants, because people lived in multiple dwellings in the cities at that time, and they were constantly on the move. However, going back to the rural areas and city and large towns, surveyors used colour coding when they arrived knocking on doors, and if the previous tenant had died since their last visit, the name of the new tenant was put in a colour pen, and on the margin on the right hand side of that survey book, the year of the change was noted. So that opens up quite a lot of other records. It opens up death records and possibility of looking for the death of that person who was noted in red as having deceased, been deceased. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And, you know, in talking about going back and looking through all of this, as you said, you hit a wall at a certain point, but there are other things that you know that, you know, for example, I found out in Tullamore that some relatives, if you went, could go way back. Some people, because of what the times were like in Ireland, would have been killed by Henry VIII, let's say. Or you know that there are certain things that you can attribute to what happened in the towns that most likely occurred. You can't pinpoint it necessarily, as you said, it's that wall, but there are certain assumptions we can make. And I think that's, people want to hear that, don't they?
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more with you, Kate, because, family history research paper trail shouldn't be just a dry thing, you know, gathering paper and placing it in the attic when you're finished. I think, for me, Irish genealogy and the research of Irish genealogy, and particularly for the diaspora, and for those of us who have left our native area and gone to the city, we should really aim to get back into that landscape that cradled our ancestors, or maybe cradled ourselves, like myself. I was born in a rural townland and left at 6 years of age. You know, so I love to go back into that landscape again. There are lots of other historical documents and manuscripts and so on that give us contextual information about the landscape of our ancestor. And I think that's when the real fun starts, and it's, the magic starts when, I'm sure, when you went into Tullamore and placed yourself into that town and into that rural landscape, that you found it was somewhat of a goosebump trail.
Yes, because I think of the family being there, yes.
Yes, and you know, Lewis's Topographical Dictionary was published in 1837. It gives wonderful contextual information about every civil parish in Ireland. And if you look at Tullamore, you'll see that Tullamore in the 1790s, I believe, was burned by a hot air balloon. And,
wow, yes.
The town consisted of a lot of thatched cabins, and they just went up in smoke. So Tullamore was rebuilt. And then became the principal town of County Offaly at a later point.
Wow.
Yeah,
fascinating
stuff. So
that
kind of stuff, you know, that's amazing when we start to look outside our own immediate family history and look at the community and look at the history of that community. This is where our local libraries are fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. We could talk all day. Helen K. Kelly, thanks so much. I appreciate the time that you spent with us in the wee hours here in Ireland. I look forward to a future conversation. Thanks, Helen. We'll be back with more on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
My name is Gary Johnson. Today I reach out to you, members of all political parties. I reach out to everyone with a vote and an axe to grind. I ask you to join me in trying something that's never been attempted before in America. Let's put our parties and our differences aside one time. Be libertarian with me for one election. Together, we'll stop the spending and end the wars. Together, we'll rebuild our own roads, bridges, schools, and hospitals instead of building theirs half a world away. Together, we'll restore our industrial might and our economy. And if in 4 years we as a people decide we don't like peace, prosperity, and freedom, we can always vote failure back into office again. We the people live free.
Gary Johnson, Libertarian for President.
Paid for by Gary Johnson, 2012.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Hey everybody, how are you hanging out there across the world in those nooks and crannies? I'm doing pretty good. Top of the morning to you, so to speak, although they never use that expression, as we found out a little earlier here in Ireland. Of course they don't use that. This is a much more modern country. It's funny the little things that will stick around, though. The legends, the myths, the crazy stories, the things that have been passed on and things that you've heard. It was interesting in talking to Helen Kelly about roots and tracing roots. I'm sure many of you that listen to America Tonight, I was trying to get some of you to call the other day, can trace yourself back to maybe Ireland, but also to other places. And it couldn't be a better time to figure out, who am I? That's the thing that everybody asks that question. Geez, I'm curious. Where did I come from? How did it all start? And a lot of that storytelling is also part of our backgrounds. It is mythical, and there are legends that are attached to maybe not even our ancestors, but just things that we've heard about the country. So in the wings, and now joining us is Johnny Daly. Johnny, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
You're very welcome.
So of all the myths and legends, do people still want to hear about St. Patrick? There's so many, I think there's so much information out there, but a lot of it is misinformation. And when I told people, Johnny, that I was going to Ireland, I'm not kidding you, I had three or four people tell me, find out the real scoop on St. Patrick.
I think there is, the St. Patrick, there would be a lot of different versions of it. I think it was the story, it's like a lot of these, you have heard maybe a character of St. Patrick that would have existed in the past, but it would have been then hijacked, the story, by lots of different interest groups, because you could then attach power to that if you could get control of this character. And have him on yours as part of your area of the country. I think they talk about that area of Armagh would have certainly taken a lot of control over St. Patrick, but and it gave them a lot of power because it was said that he came from that area of the country. But if you travel around Ireland, there would be wells all over the country that are associated with St. Patrick, and would have said that that would have been an area that he would have been, and there would be maybe very little evidence that maybe he was even in that part of the country. Yeah, a lot of people would have taken control of the character, definitely, and a lot of different ideas would be associated with him.
Yeah. This is a tough question because you're a guy who talks about this all the time, but what's your favorite legend or story to tell, to talk about when you're speaking to people?
The story that we would use would be, during the evening that we do in storytelling, would be one of the Balor of Evil Eye, which I really like. It's a great, great mythological story, and you can see how, a lot of the myths and legends, you know, they would have come into Ireland from all over the place. Stories are like, you know, if it's a good story, it's like the folklore that we talk about. If folklore is good, it will travel, and it will pass, you know, from word of mouth from one person to the next and end up as folklore of a completely different country. We even have folklore that exists in Old Ireland, which we found that people from America would say they have got similar folklore in their communities. So if it's a good idea, it travels. And it's the same with a good story or good stories. We do have emails, don't we? If we get a funny email, we pass it on. If it's not, we don't. Stories just would have traveled a lot more slowly back then. But the good ones then would eventually got to Ireland. And the unique thing in Ireland is that because we were on the edge of Europe, the new world hadn't yet been discovered. That makes us very unique, because the story, you know, we were the last link in the chain here. And because we were on the edge of Europe, these stories didn't change that much. They stayed very pure to their original form. And the unique thing in Ireland, too, is that these stories were written down and recorded by the monks. Where they were suppressed in Europe, here the monks had great respect for the old mythology and lore. So the stories were written down and recorded. So they say this is why Ireland and our stories are considered one of the best connections we have with the most ancient ways of thinking. So the story that we would talk about would be, one of the stories we like is one of Balor of the Evil Eye.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
And, yeah, Balor, he was basically, Balor was the head of the Fomorians, and the Fomorians were the really arch enemies of the Tuatha De Danann, which were the old gods and deities of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And he was called Balor of Evil Eye, so it was said that when he was a young boy, he looked into a room where the druids were practicing their magic spells. And there was this explosion, and this spell of death came out of the room and went into his left eye. And after that, whenever he looked out with that eye, he would kill them stone dead. So he wouldn't be too welcome at parties or social events, of course, with an eye like that. So he had to keep that eyelid closed, and it got heavier and heavier, so eventually he couldn't open it up anymore under his own power. But when he was older, in times of battle, it was said that he'd be put at the head of his armies. And the wonderful description said that one that he was served with a silver fingernail that gently lifted up his eyelid. And there's other versions that he had a gold ring in the eyelid, and he had four servants of ropes and pulleys to gently heave the eyelid open. But whatever happened, when the eyelid was opened, it would unleash its destructive power. So this sort of made him a pretty formidable foe. And a reason why the Fomorians held sway over the Tuatha De Danann in Irish mythology for a certain period of time. Now, it was foretold that he would be killed by Balor to Balor, that he would be killed by his own grandson. And when he heard this, he locked his only daughter, the beautiful Eslin, in a crystal tower and surrounded her with guards and ladies in waiting to make sure that no man got near her. And then he went on around his business, raiding the lands to its Danon. And he took a great cow from a man called Cian, and he brought it back to his lands, so to speak, Tory Island up there in Donegal. And Cian followed him back. He wanted to get his cow back. And he used Beorog, a druidess, to use her magical powers to send the gods and ladies in waiting to sleep. And he got through the cordon up the Crystal Tower. And then he met Essen. And they fell in love. And he very quickly forgot about his cow. And they spent the night together. And 9 months later, though, she gave birth to 3 boys. And when Balor heard this, found this out, he went absolutely crazy because he didn't want that prophecy to be foretold to take place. So the 3 ladies taken off her, put them in a wicker basket, and pushed them out to sea. Now, 2 of them drowned, but 1 was rescued by Beorog the Druidess and was brought back to the lands of the Tuatha Dé Danann and was brought up by Cian and his family. And he was called Lu, and in Irish mythology, Lu is the god of light. The month of August is actually called Lunacy in Irish. And Lu grew up to be a great warrior of the Tuatha Dé Danann. He was particularly deadly with a slingshot. Whenever he fired at the rock from that slingshot, would kill that person stone dead. And he said to the king, you know, let me take me on the Fomorians. You know, I will take them on. And the king agreed. And this great battle of Moy Tuatha took place with Balor at the head of the Fomorians, facing his grandson Lu across the battlefield at the head of the Tuatha Dé Danann. And Balor's 4 servants appeared with those ropes and those pulleys, and they gently heaved his eyelid open, and the eye began to unleash its destructive power.
Oh.
And it killed hundreds of warriors of the Tuatha Dé Danann, and it killed their king. And Lu lined up his slingshot and he fired, and the rock went hurtling across the battlefield straight into the eye of Balor, killing him stone dead. But just before he fell to the ground, the rock continued to push the eye out through the back of his head, and now it turned its destructive gaze on those behind him, his own army, the Fomorians, and sent them into flight, and the two of the Dana were victorious, and Lu became their king.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Johnny. Crazy story, you know.
Yeah.
But wonderful motifs in it, you know. And you know, the evil eye, you know, it exists in Judaism, exists in the Bible, and Lord of the Rings has it. And,
yes.
You know, good motifs reappear again and again in stories. You know, the babies in the basket being pushed out to sea, Moses. The young hero with the slingshot taking on the greater power in battle, David and Goliath.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, so great stuff in it.
Yeah, perfect way to end this conversation. That was brilliant. Johnny Daly, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
You're very welcome.
I like that. The evil eye, and now we know, as he said, the motifs, and you see certain themes that emerge. I want to thank so many people for being part of this Hour of America Tonight, all the guests that came on, and, of course, all the people at Clonterra for the great service, actually, they've provided for the show, making us feel very, very comfortable here in Ireland.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our True Cool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com.